Hello and welcome back to another episode of Kadri Talks Football. Yes, consistency. Third video this season. I want to be as consistent as ever. So please help by liking, commenting, sharing, subscribing, doing all of the nice things. But yeah, let's get into this last weekend's round of football. Lots of exciting matches to go through. I'm going to start with what I felt like was the biggest game from the weekend, Arsenal versus Aston Villa. That was a thrilling game in terms of Aston Villa should have nicked the win. Not even nicked. I'm saying nicked like they would have been lucky if they actually got the win. But no, Aston Villa should have won the game. They were much better than Arsenal. They were very tenacious, very, you know, they pressed really well. They played like a really good game. So Arsenal, as we all know, are possession-based teams, and they want to hold the ball for so long. But there's this thing they do, not just them, so many things do. They bait you by keeping the ball at their back line. So they bait the press. And something Emery does very well against big things, especially Arsenal, is he doesn't fall for the bait. You know, he keeps his press, his line in the middle. So he plays a mid block where they stay in the middle. So if you keep on passing amongst your back four, he's not moving. And then the moment you get into midfield, you're covered by so many people. Arsenal tried by inverting Timber. I mean, they do this inverting fullbacks thing. And it kind of gave them more bodies in the midfield. But Aston Villa were just too good there. And they triggered the main reason Aston Villa were even a threat in the game was because of this guy, Morgan Rogers. Now, I don't know much about this guy. I know he was at West Bromwich. City fans are trying to claim that he was in the academy. But based on my research, he wasn't. Well, he was signed from West Brom. But anyway, that's not the issue here. He had a really good game. He schooled Rice, schooled Partey, schooled everyone in Arsenal. And it's not just, you know, looking good aesthetically on the ball. That's not what it was just about him. Like, he was so strong. He could, in times where he wasn't skillfully getting past players, he was barging through them. Like, he's strong, he's quick, he's skillful, he can dribble, and he's creative. Created one of the best chances, if not the best chance of the game, for Ollie Watkins, who was a complete bomb. I'm talking like big bomb. I'm talking Brazilian surgery bomb. That's how bad he was. Like, it makes no sense. The chances he missed, especially the one where Rodgers gave to him, it wasn't even on target. That it makes no sense. But if Watkins could convert his chances, he had another one in the second half where he could have actually taken his time. He went for a diving header. The ball hit the post and came back, and he went for a diving header. There was no one around him. He could have taken a touch and volleyed the shit out of that ball. Even the keeper was going to save it. The keeper would have gone out with an injury. But no, he went with a diving header and made it easy for the keeper because he hit the ball to the center of the post. Like, Aston Villa actually played a really good game, and Watkins let them down badly. And they have guys like Duran who wanted to leave the team because of game time, and he's still not getting game time because, you know, trusting Watkins, and he was sitting on the bench thinking, I could have actually scored those goals. He was the reason they won their last game. So maybe Watkins will start getting dropped if he doesn't find his form. My Aston Villa friends, you know, they would tell you that Watkins is the best in the world. I don't know if they still think that right now. I don't think he's even the best in his team. But a very, very strong game from Rodgers. But Arsenal, just like the first game, like I said, I mentioned it in the first game where they weren't as good as we all know them to be. They didn't control the game as much as we know them to do. It could be, you know, first few games in the season, everyone's still trying to get themselves together. Or it could be that teams are figuring them out. Whatever the case may be, I think It looks very exciting for everyone. But anyway, at the end of the day, games like this, how you play the game doesn't really matter when you have the quality on the pitch. Saka was brilliant once again. Like, at some point, it looked like it was only him that was trying to win the game. And then they brought in Trossard, who just won the game by himself. He turned the game, like, around. But that's the thing about having quality, not just in your starting 11, but on the bench, like bringing in someone like Trossard. Just Aston Villa defenders had been running all game, chasing Martinelli, chasing Saka, and then you bring on Trossard, and it's like, when does this end? He got a goal for them. Partey got another goal. Partey had a mid-game, bad game, but it's easily forgivable when you score a goal that secures you the win. And Arsenal got the win, yeah. 2-0, two wins, two clean sheets. So it's looking good for them so far. And like I said, see, the thing about being champions is even when you don't play well, you should, and when you get the win, you know, it just shows you're ready to win the big stuff. But I don't want it to sound like I'm saying Arsenal did not play well. I'm just saying, you know, they've set these high standards, and when they don't play like that, it looks like, you know, they did not play well. But they got the win anyway, so my opinion doesn't ever matter. So if you're an Arsenal fan and you're watching this and you think I'm saying your team did not play well, it shouldn't matter to you because you guys got the win anyway. So moving on to the next game I want to speak about, Chelsea versus Wolves. That was like one of the most entertaining games from the weekend. Like the first half was just back and forth. It was like at some point I thought Wolves would actually win this game because Chelsea were making it kind of easy for them. Like Chelsea would score and then they would give them the chance back, like to equalize. And first half ended 2-2. Like it was like a ping pong game. But that's due to the fact that Chelsea's midfield was completely open. Where Wolves, the Wolves' strength where it was in their midfield. They had João Pedro and Lemina, like even Cunha just in the middle. Like it was so good. Their pressing was so good in the first half anyway, and they were able to counter attack. Like they were playing this counter pressing game where they get the ball and then just immediately hit you on the break, and it worked for them for a while. And then, well, second half, it's like I don't know how to explain it, because based off what I saw, Chelsea did not change much. Defensively, they were still very weak. In the midfield, they were still very porous. What looks like what happened was quality in Wolves' team reduced. It dropped drastically. And Chelsea, on top of that, had quality on the bench. Being able to bring on Neto, Felix, Nkunku, being able to bring on those guys in games like that is actually, you know, is good. It's a luxury that not many people have. And yes, Chelsea fans will be like, but you said buying too many players is not good. Yes, you still have at least 40 players that are still not kicked ball this season. So being able to bring these guys is good. Like buying players smartly. If you had, you know, your 25, 26, 27 man squad with this quality players around, that's fine. But buying 9 goalkeepers and 9 wingers, it makes no sense. There are people that are unhappy. Enzo Maresca is trying to do damage limitation every day, but every time he speaks, he's like, he's making things worse. But who cares anyway? They got the win. 6 brilliant goals. Nico Jackson beefing with Mikel Obi, telling him to shut up. Madueke beefing with a whole city. Like, how do you come to man's yard and say your city is shit and then drop a hat trick on top of that? Like, I don't even know how he made it back alive. No one can try that in my home. I'm just joking. But like, I like the beef. I like the drama that is going on. It's making things interesting for us, you know. Now Mikel Obi has dropped his own piece again, and if Nico Jackson scores again, maybe, you know, that will pick up. Well, who knows what city Nani is going to beef again. But I like the drama. But like I said, everyone scored brilliant goals. Neto was like my best performer in the second half. He's this guy where there are still 3 passes behind the pass that will get to him, and he's already running. Like, I think it was for Felix's goal. Yeah, there was the ball got to Enzo. Enzo to Drisby Hall. Drisby Hall to Felix, I think, or someone else. And then, like, from the first pass from Enzo, Neto was already running. And I love footballers like that. Like, you guys can do your interpasses, but I am going to create that space. I am going to make that run for you. And by the time the ball got to him, he didn't even, like, think twice. Like, he's a very intelligent winger. He didn't just put the ball hopelessly in the middle, hoping that someone would get to the ball first. Nah, he looked up and saw João Félix coming in, and he placed the ball for him. Brilliant goal. Probably my best goal from Chelsea. And then Cole Palmer. Cole Palmer is just Cole Palmer. He is, like, he's just burning with confidence. His goal was well taken. Like, you just, that goal is like, yeah, see guys, I'm the boss. There's nothing we can do about it. I saw something on Twitter where, like, his interviews, he always, like, looks or acts stupid. I know, it makes no sense. But, like, you ask me questions, like, I don't know. And then someone was like, imagine being so stupid and being stupid enough not to know anything like pressure. Like, I think, and I actually understand that, and I actually agree. Like, man is so unaware of things around him that he doesn't, like, he's unaware of what pressure is. Man just wants to go play football, go back, doesn't even want to do interviews and all them things. But he's actually so good. I'll be honest, I think I even said it in my first video. I was coming to this season not hoping that he'll do anything or repeat anything he did last season. But here we are, one goal, three assists in one game. It doesn't look like he's stopping, so I put him back in my FPL. But anyway, good win for Chelsea. You know, they've covered up their goal difference, which is good. They've gotten a win, which is good. Hopefully, it can be consistent. Do I believe that they'll be consistent? Not really. Because they still look defensively weak. And their XG was not great. Like, look at the goals they were scoring. They were like, a good goalkeeper would have saved some of them. Not saying they wouldn't have still gotten the win, but like, They'll only get better as a new manager, you know. I would have to be patient with them. But good win for them nonetheless. The next game I'll cover will be Tottenham versus Everton. Tottenham were my best performers from this last weekend. They played really well, just like they played in Leicester, and I mentioned. But the problem with them was the Tottenham spirit. They just died at some point in the game, and Leicester took that to their advantage. But against Everton, they were 100 from minute 1 to minute 90. They scored really good goals. They pressed really well. And it wasn't just the pressing, it was the interplay, keeping the ball, making sure they don't lose the ball in dangerous situations. And they did that really well. They have one of the best defensive lines. And it's actually it's scary, because if they stay fit, you know, they could do something. They have Udogie on the left, Pedro Porro on the right, Romero and Van de Ven. Oh my god, I don't know. I'm still not convinced with him. Like, when I say convinced, like, I'm not saying he's bad defensively, but he's just not up to the level of Romero, who is his partner, or the likes of, you know, Saliba or Konate. But like, going forward, he's a maniac. He just runs. I don't know how he's so quick, but he's so quick. And, you know, he helped them create a goal for Son, which was really good. Son is doing what Son does, just scoring, being there at the right places, pressing really well. Like, his first goal, I think, where he pressed Pickford and got the goal. Like, really, really, really. They're doing really well. They started the season well for me, but I mean, you look at the points and think, why did they drop points at Leicester? I think there's still some things they need to work on in terms of, like, their confidence, in terms of, like, their game management. But in terms of quality, in terms of coaching, I think they're there already. They just need to work on some other few things, and, you know, they might be a problem. But yeah, 4-0 comprehensive win. First win of the season, so good for them. I said it the last time. I like Ange, and I think we're only going to see good things from them. Okay, the next game I will speak about is Brighton versus Man United. Probably my favorite game from the weekend, only because United lost. Like, I woke up on Saturday morning, like, feeling down, not ready to do anything that day, and then, you know, by 2 o'clock, they brightened up my day. Okay, never mind. But okay, so I'll be honest here. United did not play bad. I'm used to them playing bad and getting wins. So seeing them play well and losing, you know, it's kind of a nice sight. But they didn't play bad at all. All the things I've mentioned in the past two videos about how they've improved in certain places, they still showed all of that. The only problem is Brighton were just better than them. Like, there's no fault to United. It's just props to Brighton. I mean, yeah, you can pick some individuals and say, yeah, they did not play well. I'm just, when I said no fault to United, I'm talking coaching-wise, as a team, they did, you know, what was expected of them. Brighton also did what was expected of them. It's just that Brighton's expectations, Brighton's plan was just much better than United. But that doesn't mean United played bad. I have some friends who support United who do not like Amad Diallo, who to me is a star. Took his goal really well. Like, that boy is so good. He's clinical on the ball. He's not one to just do things because... Nah, he does things because it is necessary, not because... I feel like if I run, I will be quicker than this guy. No, he doesn't just run because he thinks he'll be quicker than this guy. If he runs past you, he knows he's quicker than you. If he sees, if he has a doubt or a thought that, okay, this guy is quicker than me, he's going to do something else. His passes are so intricate. Like, he does these little one-two passes with people that are close to him. I really like the boy. I just hate the fact that he plays for United. And he took his goal really well. No other person had an outstanding game in United. Mazraoui is... Mazraoui just plays like someone that has played in Ajax, you know. He has that intelligence, that academy, will I say, like that knowledge of where to be, how to pass, what to do. He's creatively, he's not the best right back in the league, definitely not close. But you know, the intelligence covers for everything, and he's really good. It's exciting for United. What happens when they get their left back? Will they drop Dalot, who I think is better creatively than Mazraoui, at least so far based off what I've seen? So who knows what they're going to do there. Rashford had another bad game. You know, Twitter is just going crazy. We have people supporting him, we have people defending him, people say blaming it on Ten Hag. I genuinely believe that Ten Hag is a bad coach, one of the worst coaches in the league. But I'm not pinning Rashford's bad form on him. It's unfair. Rashford needs to step up. Rashford needs to do more. And he's doing less, way less than everyone expects of him. This is someone that used to be compared to Mbappe. And now, like, he's just terrible. It's crazy. But, that's enough from United side. From Brighton side, they were good performances. They were average performances. I'll start with Minté. He gave me Bolasie vibes. I don't know if he had a good game or a bad game. I still can't decide, because he did some things really well, like in terms of how he pinned Dalot. Like, he made Dalot useless going forward ish because he was always on his ass. Like, he didn't give him the space, he gave him the time. He was always attacking and attacking. But when he attacked, there was no end product. There was nothing. Like, every final decision making he made was just bad. But he will only improve. You know, I think he would improve. But that wasn't... I don't understand the type of game he had. And then there was Mitoma, who was fairly quiet. He got an assist, but it's not what we know him for. Like, he's someone that would kill you for 90 minutes. But he didn't do that. Maybe it's props to Mazraoui. Who knows? João Pedro, who was my man of the match, everyone's man of the match, very good. Like, he's no longer playing as the 9. Or maybe he's playing as a second striker. Or a 10. Like, but he's dropping way deeper now. He's going back to receive the ball and then taking it forward, creating and, you know, doing all the nice things on the ball, which is good to see. It was someone like, last season, I think he scored like 20 goals all competition, and I was not moved because most of them were penalties. But he started this season well. He's playing really well. And who knows, you know, he took his goal really well. But that was actually most of the work was down to Adingra and United's shit backline. I don't know why they played like three people onside. And like, literally, if the ball didn't get to João Pedro, there were two other people that could have scored from that cross. So there's still things United have to work on. But comparing them to last season, maybe my expectations for them are so low that I am calling this a good game. Other people might say they had a bad game, but I'm calling it a good game because I'm comparing them to how they were last season. And compared to that, there was an improvement. So, yeah, 2-1, win for Brighton, loss for United, which makes me really happy. And then to the best team in the world, Liverpool. Yeah, first game at Anfield, Slot's first game at Anfield. It's exciting. I mean, I'm excited. I'm still not getting carried away. Not that I don't trust this our style of play now. I love it so much, but I'm not getting carried away because we need signings to compete with the big boys. We need bodies everywhere. We need depth. We need, you know, if this person goes out, we are bringing in another body. But Slot has he's won me over. I like his the way he plays, you know, kind of like Arsenal and City, where they control the game. Like, look, listen, we want to win, but on top of that, not losing is more important than winning, which is crazy, because I used to hate teams for that. I used to hate Arsenal. Yeah, they did that last season where they prioritized not losing over winning, and I hated them for that because as a spectator, it made it boring for me to watch, you know. On that club where we were just going for it, we wanted to win, and when we had the lead, we were not stopping because we wanted to embarrass you. So that was very exciting for us. But seeing us on that slot where we prioritize passing back, you know, recycling the ball, we try an attack, it doesn't work, or someone makes like a mistake, or someone tries to dribble, it doesn't work out, we go back and then recycle the ball again, and it's exciting because it's exciting in the sense that I could see Brentford giving up, and from the 80th minute they gave up. They were not doing anything, they didn't have any hope anymore. Like, I remember a move we started, and then we gave the ball to Graven Birch in the middle. He tried going forward, he saw that there was no space, he went back, and Brentford were trying to press him in the middle. When he went back, I could see, like, the body language was like, man, I'm tired, like, referee just blew the whistle. Like, these guys are not even willing to play with us anymore. So it's good because, like I said, on our club we gave up so many goals due to us wanting more. Sometimes we just need to be satisfied with what we have. And Slot is, you know, he's winning me over. Salah was just Salah, my king, my god, my goat. Okay, not my god. That's too far. But, you know, very, very good game from him. Was fairly quiet in the first half, but second, like, I think Slot is a second half guy, because just like against Ipswich, we were quiet in the first half, picked up in the second half. But yeah, Salah was good. Graven Birch, like I said, was good. Trent was good again. Szoboszlai was my second best player. Just because Konate was my best player. Like, I was just screaming Ibu from my couch. Like, so good in the air, so good on the ground. You don't win anything from him. Like, when teams play against Liverpool, they tend to target whoever is playing beside Van Dijk, because they know there's no point trying with Van Dijk. So they target whoever is playing against him. But when I have Konate, I'm like, yeah, I don't care. I really wanted Konate to play because, you know, for Slot style of football, he wants to prioritize, like, keeping the ball, playing nice passes, and that's what Konsa has over Konate. Not like Konate is bad on the ball or he can't pass, it's just Konsa is better at it. But, you know, looking at it, I kind of prefer, I think I'll take Konate still, because, like, he made some good passes. There was an attack we had, I think he ended up with Trent shooting, where Konate played the ball, and this one thing I like about Salah. No matter what, no matter how, no matter where we are, Salah is going to have an effect on the game. So Konate played this long ball and Salah pinned Aja down. And Aja, that was a game on his own. I think even Carragher mentioned it. He was like, that was a game on his own. And he pinned Aja down and held the ball up. And then Trent, Szoboszlai, Graven Birch just overloaded the midfield. And then we were able to attack from there. Very good play. So, really, really excited for Slot Ball. 2-0, another clean sheet. 6 points, which is important. 36 games to go. So, you know, It's looking good. It's looking good. Diaz had a good game, goal and assist. I called him a donkey, I think, the past 2 weeks, but he wasn't donking this time. Once in a while, it happens, you know, and that's why I rate him. I prefer him to Gordon. I prefer him to all these guys that Liverpool fans are trying to replace him with. But I'm excited. I really, really enjoyed the game. Nunes. I don't want to talk about that guy. Pisses me off. He hasn't done anything to claim a place. Jota is staying until he gets injured. I'm scared when the new FIFA drops. Jota is probably going to get injured and leave. Gakpo had a good game when he came on. Elliot did not really do much. I would like to see Elliot more as a 10, but he played him on the wing, Salah's position. Talking about Salah's position, we're bringing in Kiesa, which to me is not a bad signing if we're addressing other positions like the DM and center back position. Like, those are, to me, are the most important things we need to address. But if we address the DM and center back solution, then the signing of Kiesa would look even more attractive to me. Not that it's not attractive to me right now, but it would look even more attractive to me because, you know, Salah needs a backup. We have two people on the left wing, two people as strikers, two people on the right wing. And, you know, that depth is good. And that's what we're lacking, quality depth. You know, if Salah can't make a game, if Kiesa comes on, that's good. But yeah, that's it for the Liverpool game. Yes, so the next game we will be covering, I'll be honest, I didn't see any of the other games. I've talked about every game that I saw 90 minutes of, or at least parts of. I'll be honest, with some games I kind of saw a little bit of Formula One. I put my hands up, so don't hate me. But the rest of the games, we have City who will be Ipswich Town. You know, I'm happy for Ipswich. They got a goal in the Premier League, which for me, I think will kickstart their season. Unfortunately, they got that goal against City, who did not take that lightly. They just, you know, showed them that, listen, you guys are good. Yeah, it's nice. Welcome to the Premier League. But we're City. And then Haaland dropped the hat-trick on their head. Rico Lewis had a good game, based off what I saw. Haaland, De Bruyne. So, good win for City. Nothing really to speak about. I didn't see the game, so I can't really highlight who had the best performance. I'll just say Haaland. He scored the hat-trick, and his goals were well taken. One thing, though, that I'm pissed off is I saw his goals. I think it was his second goal where there was so much space in behind. Why didn't we get that against Ipswich? I don't get it. All these teams, they tend to like make game life hard for Liverpool, but against City and Arsenal, they just give them a free run. Like, why is Haaland of all people having so much space to run in behind? It's unfair. Like, give us that kind of joy too. Like, come on. Oh yeah, quickly about Tottenham and Tottenham, Everton. I think Everton might be in that relegation. I knew they would be in the relegation battle. No, what I'm trying to say is it is looking long for them, the way they are going. But I've spoken about them. I'm not going to revisit them again. But it's looking long for them. Fulham, Leicester. Leicester's energy died with Spurs, I guess. I don't know. It looks. It doesn't. When I looked at the highlights, it did not look like they did much against Fulham. It looked like Fulham were in control all through. So nothing much to see on them, to be honest. It just looked like Fulham was in control all through. Emil Smith-Rowe got his first goal in his home debut. He will be, you know, continuing his form from last season. So I just feel like Fulham have steadied their ship. They are just here to stay. You know, they will be in the middle of the field. They will never be fighting relegation battle, but they will also not be fighting to get into Europe. And that's where they are, which is not bad, you know. Premier League money is still Premier League money, and at some point they will make that step forward. It's just very hard now. We have our six teams who are certified, you know, Europeans. That makes no sense. Our certified teams that will tend that always be in Europe, and then we have the likes of Villa, West Ham, Newcastle, Brighton, even like. So it's kind of hard to push ahead of all of these things, but you know they are doing really well in the league, and it's good for them. Talking about West Ham, they beat Crystal Palace. I think Crystal Palace are in danger. Not in terms of like tactically they are dropping or there's something like that. No, their coach is still doing really well. I watched the highlights of the game and they were in control of the game. They outplayed West Ham. But at the end of the day, West Ham had more quality. Crystal Palace are losing Anderson. It looks like they're going to lose Gueye, and it's not good. It's not looking good for them. If all of these guys leave, who is going to help them, you know? At the end of the day, West Ham had more quality. Kudus, that's the guy I want, you know. But that's the guy I want if Salah is leaving. I don't see him as a backup to anyone. So it's kind of sad watching him play for another team when he should be playing for my team. He's so good. Bowen scored his first goal of the season while taking goal. Suchek got his own goal too. So defensively, Crystal Palace did not look all right compared to what we know them to be or tend to be sometimes anyway. Other game that happened, Newcastle Bournemouth, that was controversial because I think Bournemouth should have won the game. They scored a clear goal. So, how do I know that is not handball? I remember a game where Liverpool fans were complaining that we've been robbed, that the other team got a handball. And then they explained to us that from the sleeve upward, it is not handball. From the sleeve downward, it is handball. And then this Bournemouth player scores not just with his he scored with his shoulder, and they said it was handball. Like, it's unfair. Like, I think Newcastle, since the takeover, they've been in that City United way of refereeing games where they are always going to cheat for them, and it's sad to see because Joliti should also have seen a red card in that game. And today I saw what was his name, Dermot Gallagher, trying to explain that no, that shouldn't have been a red card, that the referee was right. Like, I've never seen that guy come out and say the referee actually was wrong. It's like they are paying him to kiss ass. Like, we don't want to see that on our TVs. Like, if I see that guy on the road, well, lie, I'm fighting. But anyway, Newcastle were lucky to get a draw. I don't have any hopes for them. In fact, I'm hating on them now. Like, is that's just what it is. I'm just going to have to start hating on them. But anyway, it is what it is. They managed to get a draw, which was undeserved. And the last game from the weekend was Nottingham Forest, Southampton. Southampton didn't see anything from the highlight. I didn't see anything from their side from the highlights. But from Nottingham Forest side, it looks like their front four actually looks really good. And I'm tempted to swap Forest and Everton in my prediction in terms of who would relegate and who would survive, because Forest are looking good actually. Hudson-Odoi, Elanga, Wood, and Gibbs White. Like, that's actually an elite front four. Hudson-Odoi is showing us why Bayern Munich wanted in that year. Like, they wanted to pay what, 50 million, and Chelsea said no. Like, Chelsea turning out 50 million and Bayern Munich wanted to pay 50 million. That's how talented he was. And Chelsea ended up selling him for 3 million. It's crazy how life works. But yeah, now he's working now. He's playing really well, creatively, dribbling, and even, you know, finding space to shoot some shots. But yeah, it's looking good for Forest so far. Gibbs White has got his first goal of the season. That is one of the technically one of the best players in the league. I'm not, like, there's no sugarcoating that. So good a footballer. But yeah, that is it from this weekend. This might be my longest roundup, but who cares anyway? If you're still here, you are elite. If you're not here anymore, you are not elite. But anyway, an exciting game happening next week or this weekend. United versus Liverpool. I hope to watch it with my boys and I hope to laugh in their faces. And if we end up losing, I will not be shooting any video. No, I'm joking. I'll be here. I will man up, you know, show my face and admit that United were better. Ew. But anyway, that's it from this video. I'll see you guys in the next video. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. And if you do not want to see my face, like I've said the last time, you should be able to check me out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And you can hear my voice. You know, I think you will like my voice. Okay, anyway, see you guys in the next video. Peace.